Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're listening to NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. This is Speaking of Sports
with Jim Daniels
on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day.
And now,
it's Jim Daniels.
Thanks for choosing NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. I'm Jim Daniels, and this is Speaking of Sports. It's a program where, for just a moment, we kick aside the box score and take a slightly deeper look at some of the stories and the individuals that are making news in our world and how that affects us and interests us. And a number of things we want to talk about here this morning. As a matter of fact, a little bit of a year in review for you today. And also, the repeat of an interview that we did with Ryan Holiday. And the reason for that is, number one, it's a great beginning of the year thing, and it's a wonderful read. It's a great positive thing that I just want to share with people. We had Ryan on last week, and I've got such great response from people about, number one, the interview with Ryan, about how great he was, and then, of course, the material in the book that he talks about, and so many people that are endorsing it, like people like Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll and folks like that, Nick Saban, all into it. So, thrilled to be able to share that with you once again, too. We start with, wow, what an incredible year in the sports world. And, you know, just to review some of the highlights, some of the things that we've spent so much time on, you know, a lot of it started with the Super Bowl, the Seahawks' stunning surprise play call in the Super Bowl, where Malcolm Butler intercepted Russell Wilson at the goal line and absolutely 180-degree change. I mean, here they are. They're right on the goal line. They've got beast mode, Marshawn Lynch, all warmed up in the backfield, and you think, here it comes. They're just going to hand it off, and we're going to see the Seattle Seahawks be back-to-back Super Bowl champions. Wow. You're about to see history, right? And Malcolm Butler, like I said many times before, just plant that foot and go with the instinct, jump the route, and come up with one of the biggest interceptions in NFL history. And that's how we started the year. That was the 1st of February, just barely getting things going after we'd had another great string of college bowl games last year. Then Kentucky in the spring, they were looking for the first 40-0 season, and then along comes Frank the Tank in Wisconsin. We were fortunate enough to be able to get Wisconsin out here in L.A. at Staples Center for some of the early rounds and get to see this team play up close. And, wow, they really were that good, and it really shouldn't be a surprise that they come away with the victory, especially they were so well coached on top of that, that just a really impressive win by Wisconsin. From the golf world, you had Jordan Spieth. Wins the Masters at age 21 by shooting 18 under par, then tying the record held by Tiger Woods, and really just goes on to have an unbelievable year. Really could have been, had the opportunity in his sights for 3 majors in the same year. Wow, just an incredible year for Jordan in the world of golf. Then Manny Pacquiao. Yeah, Manny Pacquiao finally got what he wanted, Floyd Mayweather, and it turned into, well, a contest that was mostly forgettable. A lot of people call it rip-off of the year. It had some quite a few unflattering names for what happened in that fight. And honestly, and then we heard afterward that maybe Manny Pacquiao wasn't 100%, that he had a bad arm, so he was trying to fight with one arm. Why in the world would you do that unless you're just trying to get paid? I mean, boy, I don't think we're going to sucker up and buy another pay-per-view to watch those two do it again. Okay, I'm ready this time. Is this the I'm all healthy rematch? I don't think so. Well, it was early on in the year, actually also in the spring, when we finally saw a Triple Crown winner. Completing the most spectacular horse racing performance in nearly 40 years, American Pharoah crossed the finish line as the Triple Crown winner. Boy, you hadn't seen that in, again, almost 40 years, and it's just really just kind of lit the whole sports world up. For I'd say a whole week or so. You know, he went on to win the Breeders' Cup, and now it's off gigantic stud fees for American Pharoah. But yeah, a huge, huge thing for many people, the sports moment of the year. Downside in the sports world definitely had to be what went on with FIFA. Sepp Blatter is a name that most people were blissfully ignorant of before this came along, but the FIFA scandal has been a stench that has reached far and wide. It's been real ugly, and you know what? It's still not reeled in. Sepp Blatter has resigned and then recanted, and so we're not exactly really sure what's going on there. How he's managed to stay out of jail to this point is still a mystery to me, but they're still not done with their work. I noticed that he's not making any trips here to New York City anytime soon. Steph Curry and the Warriors, right after you had this just amazing thing happen in horse racing in May. The very next month in June, Steph Curry and the Warriors, they end a long drought in the Bay Area for championships in basketball. The Warriors get it done and prove that, yes, a jump shooting team actually can win an NBA title, much to the chagrin of people like Charles Barkley and others that said that that can't happen that way. You know, I think the first time the odds were beaten, the traditional football odds were beaten, I remember myself saying with the Bulls runs, well, you know, they got that three-peat the first time. You can't possibly do that without a center the second time. Well, yeah, when you have Michael Jordan, you can. And the same thing goes for the Golden State Warriors. No, you can't win with a jump-shooting team. Well, this isn't just a jump-shooting team. It's a jump-shooting team that has the best jump shooter in all of the NBA. And some people are saying that he may wind up being, if he isn't already, the best jump shooter in the history of the game. Now, you're going to get lots of argument out of people with that, and they're going to start drawing names out of the woodwork for you. But nonetheless, Steph Curry is that good. He's been dinged up a little bit of late, and that has showed in the Warriors' performance just how much they miss him and they need him in that lineup. So Steph Curry, once again, not a huge surprise, but really delivering the goods, helping the Golden State Warriors deliver the goods and bringing home the trophy in the NBA. Then right after that, it was Jordan Spieth's turn again, this time the U.S. Open at that really kind of bizarre and heavily criticized Chambers Bay golf course after Dustin Johnson really had the tournament-winning putts right in front of him there on the 18th green. They roll offline and leave the door open for Jordan Spieth, who steps right in and scoops the gravy. Yeah, what a year it was for that guy. A lot of people think that's as much about Dustin choking as it is about Jordan winning, but you know what? You have to be in position to win when somebody falters. Ask Nick Faldo about that. He'll tell you all about it. Serena Williams' hopes of completing her calendar slam, they were dashed later on after the summer when she she came up short, just three matches short. And, you know, you got to think at some point the pressure just gets to you. It's some of these records that the media forces on these players. And, yeah, I will say that we force it on them because we're relentless with the questioning and keeping it in the front of their mind, which is, you know, something that they a lot of times would like to push out and focus on. That's why you hear that so many times out of players, just thinking about the next game, taking it one day at a time. That's wise, to keep that stuff out of your head. Don't let it rent space in there and stay focused on the prize. All right, that was Serena stumbling in September. Then an even bigger stumble in October, that was Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey even kind of predicted, and you may have heard this before, that she was on with Jimmy Fallon and said that, yeah, Holly Holm is a boxer. I have to look out for that. But, you know, I also have to look. She's a pretty good kickboxer, too. Got to look out. Might get kicked in the head. She predicted that that would happen, but she did not predict that she would go down to a knockout because of that blow and absolutely shock the UFC world. Dana White, of all people, the president of the UFC, as shocked as anybody, and saying after the press conference, is it too soon to talk about a rematch? Dana White saying, absolutely not. Remember, he was adamant about the fact that we're going to get a rematch on real soon. I think if I'm Holly Holm, I maybe like to take maybe somebody else on in a fight before I go back to Ronda Rousey again. Then again, she may be so supremely confident in her performance against Ronda Rousey the first time that she'd be ready to go right back at it again. And honestly, it's going to be a tough assignment for Ronda Rousey. Holly Holm is taller, longer reach, much more experienced at boxing. It's going to be Ronda Rousey's game plan to try and get her on the ground. But boy, when you get her on the ground, you better make sure that you get her into one of those quick arm bars, leg bars, something like that, which has been her signature move. Because again, she's big, strong, lanky. Going to be a tough rematch for Ronda Rousey. I don't think it's just automatically she wins number two and then we're all looking for number three. It was October 14th, and I have the specific date written down this time, not just saying part of the baseball playoffs, but October 14th, when Jose Bautista goes deep to beat the Texas Rangers in the American League Divisional Series game and probably displays the greatest bat flip we've ever seen. Man, that was a bat flip for the ages. I don't know. You might even get qualified for the Olympics and the hammer throw with that one. Jose Bautista with a really special moment. Then, of course, a special moment after 30 years for the Kansas City Royals to get their World Series victory. Came up short last year. This year, they get the job done. And then, of course, Alabama's Derrick Henry winning the Heisman Trophy just a couple of weeks ago, topping off our year. So pretty good year in sports. Lots of great stuff. Some unbelievable, some very memorable things like American Pharoah for sure. And then moving forward, getting into 2016, oh, here we are on the doorstep of Black Monday. We'll probably talk with some of that. I think we'll be able to get Pete Fox in. We'll talk to him a little bit about that. There's also some interesting availabilities, you might say, still available out there in the world of a Major League Baseball free agency. A little bit of a surprise there. We'll get into some of that as well. Rick Horro, the professor, joins us about the business of sports. That's coming up next on NBC Sports Radio and NBC Sports Radio's mobile app. Good morning. This is Speaking of Sports on NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. Good morning. It's going to be a fun day in the NFL. We're wrapping up Week 17, and that's the end of the regular season. We're going to get to the business of sports with the professor coming up in just a second. First, let's do an upgrade. Home Depot can help you with big savings on brand-name appliances. Right now, they've got their lowest prices of the year on select appliances. Got to check out their selection of the top brands that you love, Samsung, Maytag, LG, Frigidaire, and Whirlpool, and let the Home Depot take care of the rest. Visit homedepot.com/appliances for more details. Home Depot, more saving, more doing. All right, let's get to the business of sports, the dollars, the deal-making, and for that, we've got Rick Horro, the professor, who joins us every week and talk about the business of sports. Happy New Year, my friend!
Happy New Year, my friend, too. It is ironic that the Afterthought Bowls, which are the bowls that follow the Bowl of Six, I guess the Bowls of Six yesterday, were probably some of the best games of the entire bowl season. If you stay up, I did because I'm old and it's on the East Coast, but that Motel Six Cactus Bowl, you wouldn't know it was a 7-5 against a 6-6 team. That's the beauty of having all those teams in those bowl games.
Well, and you either didn't watch the game or you did like I did, and you bailed at halftime on the Oregon-TCU game. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, that was on its way to being another lopsided victory, but instead you see a little bit of college football history. Let's talk about that. We'll start there, Rick. The college football playoff debuted in 2015 with the four teams, and now we see all these blowouts all over the board yesterday. Kind of looks like if we'd expanded that to eight, we'd have had some pretty good football games, right?
Yeah, but you can't make that decision based on any one particular year, certainly one particular week. What you can do is evaluate how the New Year's Eve reduction in ratings, which was pretty significant, is going to affect next year. They've got them next year at New Year's Eve as well. But so the combination of the blowouts and the ratings drop will bother people, yet the $470 million for the three playoff games, ESPN certainly on the hot seat to try to get their return on investment. It was over tripled from the investment in the BCS. The last BCS rights deal was $180 million. This is $470. And so the bottom line is the payouts are great, nearly $500 million for the bowl organizing committees. Fans treated to some exciting football, some not. But obviously it's hard to believe that 40 of the 41 are done.
Fans didn't like the games being on New Year's Eve. That was reflected in a 36% dip in the ratings. You know what? You can't have that from a client perspective from any other. Do you imagine that they get those games off of New Year's Eve next year?
Well, you know, they're scheduled for New Year's Eve, so it'll be an interesting this dynamic in the boardroom over the next couple of months because these schedules are set a year in advance. So, and every other bowl schedule ripples around it, so it'll be hard to take it off next year, but they'll think about it longer term, and there has to be some extra promotion or some kind of supplement. The whole, you know, lead into New Year's Rocky Eve didn't really work, maybe because that program has lost its luster, and if you're going to be watching a blowout, then you're going to turn pretty early and it might have had something to do with the blowout games after the first half, but you never know.
Might have had something to do with people have other stuff to do other than watch college football on New Year's Eve.
Forgot about,
might
yeah,
be
forgot
just
about
that simple. Biggest thing of the year, the headline of the year, honestly, it's got to be American Pharoah. The impact on what this has done. Can you talk about, you know, how many extra dollars this generated by us finally having a Triple Crown winner?
Yeah, well, it's not just the dollars, although it's significant, clearly. But it's the fact that every once in a while you need a defining moment to either resurrect the sport or make sure it doesn't irrevocably stop generating the dollars. So 37 years between Triple Crowns, now we have a winner. And so it puts horse racing back on the map. Let's see how you follow up with it. And frankly, it's a kind of a letdown now because what do you do for me lately? But now they've got to build on what they've got. But here's the bottom line, $8.6 billion off the courses just because of his racing winnings. And what about after retirement? It's great work if you can get it. They call it a sit-in. He gets $200,000, or his owner, Ahmed Zayed, gets $200,000 a sitting per live foal.
Wow.
Sitting. $40 million this year is expected from a very prolific horse, and I will just leave it at that by saying it's good work if you can get it.
Boy, no kidding, especially the $40 million that goes on top of that, and that's where I'll leave that little punchline. Hey, look, we're talking about the NFL, and we're going overseas again. Looks like more games in jolly old England, but maybe someplace besides England, right?
Yeah, well, you know, three venues, five games every year, potentially, at the end of this 10-year run. So England's being taken care of pretty well. The awareness is up, obviously. But with the NFL's awareness campaign in other places, Germany's going to have an activation plan. Watch for that. Brazil, maybe the Pro Bowl. Mexico may have a few games, bring games back to Canada. So it's across the pond, but it's also international. And the NFL understands how valuable it is to generate revenue beyond our shores. Roger Goodell puts a target up of $25 billion. He holds his people to it. And frankly, with money overseas, you may get there.
Let's talk about the NBA. Rick Horrow is our guest. The professor joins us to talk about the business, the deal-making, the dollars that go on in sports. The Warriors, it's a red-hot product. I mean, honestly, the season that they had last year, their accomplishments, they win the Larry O'Brien Trophy, they have the MVP. Now they start the season this year, the 24-game win streak. They're a team that's looking for a new venue. Boy, they're doing it right, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they win 67 regular season games last year, and they look like they're on pace to win every game from now to the end of the season this year. Steph Curry with a new deal with the water company and obviously other deals around the NBA. Joe Lacob needed this. This is the best time for the Warriors. The guy that runs it, the CEO, looks for a new deal in downtown San Francisco on the waterfront with the arena. Not finalized yet, but it's well on its way. Politicians love winners, and this is a classic case.
You know, in the Horo Sports Brief, you're talking a lot about the Chicago Cubs here. And you know what? They had a great year. It was a breakout year. Chris Bryant, Rookie of the Year. Then they have the Cy Young Award winner. Then they have the Manager of the Year. They're getting it. They've just renovated the stadium. Is this the year for the Cubs?
Well, if it is, then we know it. Then I'm going to pick real estate, and I'm going to pick stocks. And if that's the prediction you can do, I've been 0 for 107, I guess it is. But they've got Hayward away, et cetera, et cetera. The bottom line is the value continues to increase. They've got these young kids tied up with arbitration years before they become free agents. And the OF team's done it right. But just when you expect it is the time when you don't get it. So I'm not going to say anything as a Cub fan. We'll just leave it alone.
All right, so only got a few seconds here, so we're going to talk about the national championship game here. Not necessarily the business of that, because we know that's the golden prize. That's where you want to be, is in that big national championship game coming up on the 11th. Let's just talk about the football game for a second. Who do you like? Do you like Clemson to continue to beat the odds, or does that Alabama Crimson Tide look just too tough?
Alabama knocks the heck out of them, and if Watson can stay healthy and run a little bit, maybe they've got a shot. So I am firmly uncommitted. I'll be there. We'll talk next Sunday, and maybe I'll make a decision.
Awesome stuff. Rick Horrow, the business of sports, with us every Sunday morning here on Speaking of Sports. Thanks, my friend, and again, Happy New Year.
All right, man. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you soon. Very good stuff. Coming up next, this is a book that you want. Honestly, like I say in the interview, 180 little tiny 5x7 pages, and it's Ryan Holiday, and it's next on NBC.
You're listening to NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. This is Speaking of Sports
with Jim Daniels
on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day.
And now,
it's Jim Daniels.
Never truer on week 17 of the NFL season. Yeah, the conclusion of the regular season. That means we're into the playoffs 1 week from today. Good morning. I'm Jim Daniels. This is Speaking of Sports. We like to shove the box score aside and take a slightly different look at the sports world and some of those individuals rolling around in it. And an encore performance, if you will, here. We had Ryan on last week, and I wanted to run this again because he's a great interview. It's fun, but he has written a book that is fantastic that I want people to know about. I think it's a great thing, especially for starting the year. Ryan is a best-selling author who appeared in Forbes as well as the New York Observer and some others. He joins us to discuss his new book, which is really a big hit in the sports world and kind of a surprise. It's titled The Obstacle is the Way, The Timeless Art of Turning Trials into Triumph. And it's about ancient philosophy of Stoicism, right? Now, that helps people bounce back from frustration and failure. You can see why this works in the sports world. Ryan will explain how these 2,000-year-old strategies are working for superstar coaches, the likes of which are and include, but not limited to, Nick Saban, Pete Carroll, and Bill Belichick. Ryan, welcome once again to NBC Sports Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is certainly not the interview I thought I would be doing when I pitched my publisher a book about an obscure school of ancient philosophy, and I never thought that I'd interact with anyone in the NFL because of it, but that seems to be what happened.
Yeah, that is exactly what's happened, and now you're on national radio and NBC talking about it to the whole world. But listen, I had to look up Stoicism, I'll be honest with you, full disclosure, before I started reading the book. And if I get this right, Stoicism is brains over brawn, control your emotions with a little bit of turn the other cheek thrown in. Am I close? Is that pretty good?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Stoicism, rather than being like a set of, let's say, ethical principles, although ethics is a part of it, is much more about sort of analyzing your own thoughts, focusing on the things that you do control in life, and then slowly excising unhealthy or destructive emotions, responses, or instincts or what have you from your life to make you a better person who is, that they would say, able to live the good life.
Now, we're talking about 200 years. You're talking to your publisher about putting together a book about philosophy, and it winds up in the sports world. How did you discover 2,000-year-old teachings that you were able to convert that message into 21st-century book that is now caught the attention of people like Bill Belichick?
Yeah, so Stoicism is very well known, obviously, in history and in philosophy. Some of the Stoics, people might have heard the names. Marcus Aurelius, the emperor of Rome, was probably one of the most famous Stoics. There was Seneca, who was a famous politician and a playwright, also a famous Stoic. And then there was Epictetus, who was actually a former slave who became a teacher. But they've influenced everyone from, well before my book, they influenced everyone from James Stockdale, who spent time in prison camps in Vietnam. Bill Clinton rereads Marcus Aurelius every year. Theodore Roosevelt was a big reader of the Stoics. So Stoicism has always existed. It's sort of been the stepchild of philosophy because it's designed to be practical. What I sat down to do when I wrote the book was not write a book about philosophy, but to take the principles of philosophy and then illustrate them with stories from history. So I tell these stories that someone from Theodore Roosevelt acting on a Stoic principle, or John D. Rockefeller, or Amelia Earhart, or Thomas Edison, Steve Jobs. So I illustrate the philosophical ideas with stories about people who overcame a specific obstacle, be it mental or physical or spiritual, what have you. And then the book, one NFL coach picked it up and told another coach that he had to read it. And then the next thing I know, I'm hearing from all of them.
Well, you caught my attention in the preface right away, and you mentioned his name just a moment ago. You immediately call Marcus Aurelius to the stage and credit him with what he wrote a couple of thousand years ago, saying what he wrote is undoubtedly one of history's most effective formulas for overcoming every negative situation that we may encounter in life. Now, many of us only know Marcus Aurelius from Russell Crowe's film Gladiator, but really, what was good for the Roman Empire then really still works for the modern world today, doesn't it?
Yeah, so the quote that the book is based on and the title is sort of derived from this, Marcus says, the impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way. And basically what the Stoics say in many different forms throughout all their literature is we don't control the world around us. We control how we respond to the world around us. And so what Marcus is saying and what I try to say in the book is, you know, things will happen to you, good or bad, and what they present in each situation, let's say an undesirable situation happens. You were intending to do X, but Y occurs and you can no longer do that. Well, that present that's you still retain the ability to respond with excellence in some form or another, right? You still always maintain the response that you choose to give to a given scenario. And as a result, you always have a chance. You always retain an opportunity then. You always have a chance to do well. And so in sports, where everything from the call from the ref to the actions of the other team to a sudden snowstorm can affect your plan, your game strategy, your quarterback could go down. You could spend a lot of time complaining that this is unfair. You could get upset. You could do a number of things that don't help you solve that situation. Or you could instead focus your energy exclusively on, okay, what are we going to do about this? And I think that's an attitude you find not just in sports but in entrepreneurship, in business, in art. What great people do is they focus their energy on what they can control rather than wasting time or energy on how they wish things were.
Author Ryan Holiday is with us. The Obstacle is the Way, The Timeless Art of Turning Trials into Triumph is his latest work. As I poured through these pages, I noticed words like perception, emotions, perspective. These are all key elements in life that in our personal world, you know, live there as well as in our business life. And left unchecked or uncontrolled, really just these three alone can create chaos in your life, can't they?
Yeah. So there's another quote I like from Marcus Aurelius that I think sums up all of Stoicism. And so if you don't read anything, just, I think, remember this quote. But basically he says, objective judgment now at this very moment, unselfish action now at this very moment, willing acceptance now at this very moment, that is all you need. And so basically what that breaks down to is how you perceive things, that's how you act on things, and then that's how you accept the outcome of those things. And that sort of loop gives you the ability then to, I think, successfully respond to all situations. Now, obviously, we want things to go well and we want them to go our way, but that's not always going to happen. So what are you going to do in those situations? And I think, you know, that's what, it's the teams that finish well. It's the teams that respond to injuries or adversity well. It's the athletes who respond to injury or adversity well that have the longest careers, that have, that do the best. It's not the fragile athletes that set records and last for a long time. It's the resilient, the mentally tough ones that we admire the most.
Ryan, this is a Take Control of Your Life book that has really caught the attention of some real control freaks, and I mean that in the most complimentary way. Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, Pete Carroll, just to name a few, all of these guys have embraced and endorsed your book at a very high level. And as you said, you didn't intend to write a sports-friendly book, but you have. Actually, I think you've written something that anyone, no matter what walk of life that they're on, can benefit from learning how to make yourself positive, efficient, and successful, right?
Yeah, well, look, I don't want to take credit for that because it's rooted in a philosophy that, you know, luckily has been sort of battle-tested over 2,000 years by people in, you know, positions of extreme success. That would be like an emperor or a politician, mm-hmm. and then extreme adversity. That would be a slave or a prisoner or someone who experienced extreme hardship. And I just try to translate it to a modern context. And I think, you know, what you're finding is the sort of attitudes and strategies that are required to be successful in sports happen to
bleed over into the business world. They also happen to be rooted in the sort of psychological and philosophical principles that have existed throughout history. And so I think I just got lucky sort of tying these things together. And it's certainly been very cool to hear from these, you know, individuals that I watch on TV every weekend, and to hear they're using the book, or at the very least that I expressed something that they already knew to be true. I think Stoicism is very common sense for people. It just sometimes you need it spelled out so you can remember it and apply it better.
Well, the book is 185 by 7-inch little pages of power. It's full of positive energy and wisdom for the ages. It's a quick and enlightening read that is perfect for the New York. Ryan, where can our listeners find the book?
They can find it on Amazon and anywhere books are sold. It's called The Obstacle is the Way.
It's great stuff. Listen, fascinating. Ryan, thanks for being with us this morning on NBC Sports Radio. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Really something that is a perfect New Year's read for you. And again, it's a little bitty thing, little 5x7 pages. Not too much to it. You can get through it quickly. Coming up next, I'm going to team up with Pete Fox, and we're going to take a look at, a dark day in the sports world. It's next. It's NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. It's NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. We are speaking of sports. I'm Jim Daniels here every weekend where we're doing this. Pete Fox in the update studio, ready to join me here for, what is maybe a dark day in sports. Good morning, Pete Fox.
Good morning, Jim. I have to say I heard you on your one of your many other day jobs, and the rock radio JD is smooth. I was impressed. I took a double take. I was like, is that Jim?
Is that really him?
Different side of Jim Daniels I didn't know existed.
It's a lot of fun, boy. It's been many years since I did the rock radio thing, but our company owns a great big rock radio station here in Los Angeles, and they offered, and I very willingly jumped in there, and I've been having a lot of fun with that. As a matter of fact, we do a football pregame show that kicks off in about an hour. I leave here and hop in the car and drive the other side of town. And do some more of it. I want to talk about NFL with you, and I want to talk the coaching changes, because that dark day of the year that I was talking about is Black Monday. And yeah. In the case of the Philadelphia Eagles, wow, they couldn't – Jeffrey Lurie couldn't even wait until Monday. The first thing I want to ask is, yeah, okay, we realized that this was a possibility, but why do you suppose the urgency? Why wait and get him out of there and not even let him finish the last game of the year?
You know, it felt like I'm the boss. I have all the money. I'm in charge. And, you know, he just had it. He was up to here with what was going on. So he just pulled the trigger. Why? Because he can. So.
And sometimes that's all the reason there needs to be, right?
Right. Exactly.
Now, there's also rumors, and these are the kind of rumors that are being leaked, rumors that not only Mike Pettine but the general manager Ray Farmer are both going to be out in Cleveland. That news may come from Jimmy Haslam even before the day is over. Might not even make it to a Black Monday. Those two are pretty much slam dunk gone, aren't they?
It seems like it, yeah. And Pettine, you know, I always feel like 1 year is not enough to really prove yourself.
No.
But he, you know, he kind of stepped in in a variety of different ways. And, you know, he's got a guy like Johnny Manziel on his team. And that, unless he's playing well, that can be a hindrance to a coach.
Yeah, I would say that Johnny Manziel had a lot to do with his undoing. And then I've also heard a rumor this morning. Steve Fezzik, who's with pregame.com, he's in Las Vegas, and he said he heard from some of his co-workers, if you will, colleagues, that Johnny Manziel was spotted in Las Vegas yesterday.
Wow.
Don't know if that's true or not. That's an unconfirmed rumor, but yeah, boy, if it is, that would be disappointing. Yeah, well, you know, my coach is fired, so what the heck? I'm not playing, so I'm out of here.
I mean, we're assuming that Mike Mularkey's out in Tennessee and Dan Carpenter's out in Miami, right?
You're jumping ahead of me here a little bit, but we think so, because both of these guys are step-in, fill-in guys. Dan Campbell, I think, is somebody who would love to have that gig. I think he brought a little bit of toughness to them. But the Ken Wisnut, that's totally just keeping the seat warm there. So I think both of these guys are likely gone. Now, with the Tennessee thing, excuse me, with the Tennessee job, I mean, is that another slam dunk? I mean, is that Chip Kelly? What more could you want? You get Marcus Mariota, who you obviously have a great relationship with, and you get to rebuild in a place without all the huge media scrutiny of, you know, Philadelphia, New York, or someplace like that.
Yeah, no, it's probably good for Chip Kelly, but I'm a Titans fan, and I don't know if it's good for the Titans. But then again, I've said multiple times it can't get any worse for them. So you got nowhere to go but up. And I don't know that necessarily Chip and Marcus Mariota are this magical concoction. You put them together, and it, you know, instantaneously means wins.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I feel like it can't be any worse. And, you know, it'll be interesting for all of us to see how that the experiment continues. But the Titans got a lot of holes. It's not just one little, hey, put that coach in there and everything will be fine.
That's for sure. Now, this is another one that we think is likely to happen. And that's Indianapolis coach Chuck Pagano. This has been talked about for a while. The addition to that is probably Ryan Grigson, and partially because the two have not been able to get along. Ryan Grigson has been one of these guys, I traded for Trent Richardson, and doggone it, you're going to play him. And, you know, when you're in that kind of a position as a head coach, wow, you know, how much can you hold my feet to the fire when you're making me play guys that I've determined are not capable of playing at this level? So both of those guys look like they could be gone on Monday.
Well, you know, again, this feels like a lot of the controversy that surrounds what's going on there is kind of telling the story. And a lot of times it feels like owners have to follow the story.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens.
You know, even though they may think otherwise, but they're like, it just seems when you start to hear this stuff bubbling up all over the place, something's happening.
Smoke, there's fire. Finally, we'll end with this one. Coach Tom Coughlin. You know, Tom Coughlin is 70 years old. He's got a couple of Super Bowl championships under his belt. It seems likely that he is probably not shown the door, more likely kicked upstairs so that they can make a move in the younger direction, you think?
Yeah, that sounds about right. The thing is, every other time we've heard these rumors about Coughlin being on the hot seat, you know, he ends up getting to the playoffs and winning a Super Bowl or something like that. But he didn't get to the playoffs this year, so maybe it could be the end. But like you said, he is 70, so not being an ageist, but maybe it's just time for him to ride off into the sunset and enjoy those years.
I don't want to be an ageist either. It just seems like it's time. He's run his course. He's had great success there. And, you know, go upstairs and be a consultant and get some of the hours off your time card. Thanks very much, Pete Fox.
You,
always a treat. Love getting you in the program every week. That's going to do it for Speaking of Sports. We'll be back next week and do it all over again. Coop is next on many of these NBC Sports radio stations.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.